This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. A bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about using biological techniques to make electronic parts. But first, unless you've been living under a rock this week, chances are you've seen a picture or two of rocks. But getting good pictures of rocks on another planet, in this case Mars, is something to write home about. And pictures are coming back from the Red Planet, and they have had scientists starting to plot out their plan of attack for the rest of the Mars Exploration Rover mission. Joining me now to talk about the images they're seeing is Jim Bell, Associate Professor in the Department of Astronomy at Cornell, and leader of the panoramic camera team, the PanCam, as they call it, of the Mars Exploration Rover Spirit. Welcome to Science Friday. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ira.
I know you're making, did you get your, you're doing a complete 360 color pan of the site. Is that finished yet?
That's right. We have actually finished acquiring it, and all of it is on board on the rover. We've only been able to downlink about 75% of it so far to the Earth. So we're still in the process of bringing it down from the rover.
I guess the news today was that you've got the rover to sit up, stand up?
Stand up, stand that's up. Right. That's the first part of the stand-up process was completed very successfully today. There's an incredibly talented and energetic crew of engineers here at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory who are overseeing this process, and they're all very, very happy about this. And the science team, of course, very happy about this, too, because It's one step closer to driving off the lander.
But the date for that driving keeps slipping a little bit, doesn't it?
It's slipping a little bit, and it's not really a surprise. We didn't know in advance what we would see, what kind of obstacles we'd have to overcome. And in one case, you know, there are still apparently some airbag obstacles that are causing some concern. Everyone on the science team is being very patient because we know that safety comes first. We want to get this wonderful, wonderful machine onto the surface in safe shape. And so we trust the engineering team to do it the best way possible.
Now, I've been following the news conferences during the week, and I noticed the enthusiasm of the scientists. And maybe it was you who said it, I don't remember. One of the reasons for going to this crater in which Spirit has landed was that it once was believed to contain an ocean or a lake with a river running into it. Yet I heard someone say this week that now that you're there, it doesn't look at all like an old lake they expected to see.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are clues that we're trying to unravel. Certainly from orbit, looking down on the planet from a great height, there are indications that there was a lake inside this crater.
Right.
The crater is about the size of Connecticut for scale. We landed right in the middle of it in a beautiful landing site, a great place to rove around. And now that we're down on the surface, it's a little bit more puzzling. It's not nothing is, of course, as clear as it seems. When you think you understand something, and then the wonderful thing about getting new data is that you can throw everything out on its ear. Mm-hmm. We're still in the process of taking our first good look around and trying to figure out if we see clues in the rocks and the geology and the composition that might confirm or refute this hypothesis about an ancient lake.
And from the pictures you've been taking, what are any surprising rocks that you say, gee, I don't know what that is?
We have seen some very interesting features. Personally, what I've been surprised by is the range of what a geologist would call lithologies, kinds of rocks, morphologies. We see very sharp, angular rocks that would be frightening to airbag designers that the airbag had to roll over these things, but apparently it survived just fine. But we also see a category, a class of very smooth, rounded rocks that don't seem to jive with the kinds of environments that lead to very sharp angular rocks. So there's a mixture in there. Most of the rocks close to us are quite small, sort of, you know, tens of centimeter size or smaller. But there are a few off on the horizon. There's one in an image that we released on the web the other day that's maybe 40 meters away, and it's the size of a Volkswagen. So there are some large boulders in the landing site. They're much more rare than what we saw at Pathfinder.
With so many rocks, when you go back and you're going to have to decide which ones to visit, it must be what they say in the business, a frank exchange of views about which rocks you'd like to visit and why, and who gets to decide?
That's right. We are having some direct discussions, as you can imagine, which is the beauty of it. You know, you get 150, 200 scientists together in a room, and you know, good luck agreeing on anything, let alone where to drive this spectacular rover. But one of the great things about our team, and Steve Squires is the leader of our team, is that we've worked a long time together. We've been practicing. We know how to build consensus among our group, and we know we have to build consensus to get our science done.
Let me ask you one last question, because this has been on. I've been thinking about this. I remember a few years ago, there was a discovery on meteorites of water-bearing salt. That may have been billions of years old. Mm-hmm. There's water-bearing salt that's found on this Earth, on the Earth, that is hundreds of millions of years old. And when you drill into it, there are microbes that come to life again.
Mm-hmm.
Could you be not looking for that kind of salt deposit if there was water on there still remaining within rocks or within salt, water being in the salt there?
Absolutely. The instruments we're carrying are very sensitive to a wide range of minerals, including salt minerals, many other kinds of materials. In fact, just this morning, the first results from the infrared spectrometer were presented, and they confirm a measurement that has been made from telescopes and from Mars orbit, that the soil, the dirt sitting underneath our feet, contains a small amount of water, a few percent by weight. So, you know, we have these clues, we have the tools. What we need is to get this rover safely on the ground and drive around this landing site, explore the different kinds of terrains we see, and then head off to in the distance to some of the features we see off on the horizon.
Here's my really last question. I lied about that.
Okay.
There have been press reports all day today and in newspapers that President Bush may be preparing to announce a human mission to Mars. Any reaction at JPL among scientists about that?
Well, I think, you know, we've been so focused and so concentrated with so much concentrating on driving these rovers, I don't think we've really had time to digest this information. You know, my personal reaction, as you can imagine, I'm not unbiased about this. I think it's a wonderful thing to explore and to learn new things, and I think it's very important right now for the nation to have this discussion about what the future of human space exploration is, and I hope it goes forward.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. I know you've been very busy for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
And good luck to you.
Hey, thanks.
Jim Bell is an associate professor in the Department of Astronomy at Cornell and leader of the Panoramic Camera Team, the PanCam on the Mars Exploration Rover Spirit. You can go to our website and see a picture that's one of the latest pictures from Mars there.